Blog Talk Radio.
I am Pastor Keisha, your host, and
I am Sister Bree.
And tonight, Fearless for Christ Youth Talk Radio is live. We bring you greetings from Mount Zion Greater Harvest Ministries, where Apostle Dr. Robert Revell, Sr. is our senior pastor. We welcome all listeners, callers, and chatters to our show. This show is where we focus and discuss real topics concerning our youth from a Christian perspective. Today
we will be talking about peer pressure. Our special guests are Pastor Stephanie Lolly, youth pastors at the House of Prayer in Pins Grove, New Jersey. Please feel free to call in with your questions or comments, or you can send us a message via Twitter at Lakeisha Brown, at Fearless for Christ, Facebook at Fearless for Christ, or send us a message right here on the Blog Talk Radio site, and we will try our best to answer your question.
Let us open up with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and truly be glad in it. We thank you, God, for your love us so much that you want to edify and educate us in this Christian walk. We ask right now in the name of Jesus that you pierce the heart of all listeners, and in Jesus' name, we ask that you would just touch them, God, that this would encourage them, uplift them, build them, strengthen them, God, the young people, that they would be able to yield to you and live, God, according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our scripture of today is coming from Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Again, our topic is peer pressure, and I'm your host,
Pastor Keisha, and
I am Sister Ruth.
And let us welcome our special guest today. Today we have Pastor Stephanie Lolly. Let's welcome her. Amen. Pastor Stephanie?
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, can you hear us?
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Excellent.
Can you hear me?
We're talking on a, yep, I can hear you. Can you hear us good?
Yes, I can hear you.
Excellent. So tonight, our topic tonight, we're going to discuss peer pressure. And I know you being a PK kid, you have a lot of great information that you can share concerning peer pressure to our youth. Amen? So we're going to let Sister Bree go ahead and conduct this interview.
Okay, so before we start, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm 22 years old. I've been preaching since I was 7 years old. I am a PK kid, as Youth Pastor Brown said. I've been in church all my life, but that doesn't mean that I haven't made mistakes. I have made mistakes. I have fallen. I have messed up a couple times. But knowing that God still loves me and still cares for me, I still push forward and I still do whatever God has called me to do. I know that I'm chosen and purpose-filled. That pretty much sums it up.
So what is peer pressure to you?
Peer pressure to me is when you allow other people to pretty much influence you, even when you know it's something that you shouldn't do. You allow people to influence your actions, the way you talk, the way you live. You allow them to push you to a place where you know that that's not your character or who you should be, but yet you still allow them to take you there. That's what peer pressure is to me.
Are there any type of types of good peer pressure?
Yeah, I believe that there is good peer pressure when you surround yourself with positive people. A lot of times the results of or the outcome of who you are becomes those positive people. A lot of times when you're around people that talk positive, that act positive, that do what they're supposed to do, they influence you to go that same way, because a lot of times people don't desire to be the outcast or be the one doing the different thing. So when you surround yourself with positive people, I believe that there is positive peer pressure from that.
When does this type of peer pressure begin?
Say that one more time.
When does peer pressure begin? Like, how can you tell you're being peer pressure?
I would have to say it varies. I don't think it's a thing that comes when you're a teenager or if a thing that comes when you're 20s or 30s. I think it just happens. It can happen to anybody at any age, and it's not really like something that you put, oh, the people from mid-teens to the 20s, they deal with peer pressure, because there are people that are 50 years old that still deal with peer pressure. So I don't think that it's an age that you can say it begins or it ends. It just happens.
Excellent. I agree.
What are the dangers of negative or bad peer pressure?
The dangers of it is, well, you could really get yourself hurt. So it depends on who you're around or what the peer pressure may be. And I think a lot of times when you are peer pressured or you're taken from out of your character, you get that sense of feeling lonely, and because you don't really know who you are. You don't know who you are in Christ. You don't know who you are as a child, as a person. So you begin to feel lonely, and then what comes, that loneliness can come suicidal thoughts. And with the suicidal thoughts, you know, actions can follow behind the suicidal thoughts. So there's so many different outcomes that can come from negative peer pressure.
So how does this outside pressure influence a person's identity?
Can you say that one more time? I couldn't hear you.
How does this outside pressure influence a person's identity?
I believe that it begins to make them question who they really are. Even though, as for me, knowing that I'm a PK child, I have certain standards that God has even set for me to reach or stand on or to live upon. And I believe that even when peer pressure begins to come, it makes you begin to lower your standards. You begin to live the way that other people think that you should live, or you begin to talk the way other people think you talk. And I think a lot of times people who have heard me minister, they have heard me told the story that when I was growing up, I used to cuss in school, and it was only because of the people who I surrounded myself with. So then it made me kind of question or dictate to who I really was and allow me to start being who they were and who they acted around me. So I would cuss in school, I would act out in school, knowing that that's not what God had called me to do, but because of the peer pressure, then it begins to make me question who I really was.
Amen.
How has peer pressure affected today's society and culture?
I believe that it affected, especially now with, like, bullying. So kids, I mean, you see it so often that now kids are taking their own lives and things like that are happening. People are, even the homosexuality, we can even look around and see how great a number of people that is now that are homosexual, and it could have all came from just peer pressure, from being around people and doing things that they weren't supposed to. So now the homosexuality spirit, even in the church, has become so strong and so overpowering on the young people, and it becomes like a new fad, just like a different fashion. And knowing that that's not who God called us to be, that's not the purpose that God placed on the inside of us, but because of the world that we live around, what TV makes us feel like is right, or what the radio station makes us feel is right, then we go with that thing. And I think it begins to dictate or contradict who we already know that God has made us to be.
Amen. So excuse me, like, for instance, we see a lot of things because we're in the church, and we see it in the world as well because, we're not absent from the world. We do live in this world. We see a lot of things, young boys with the drinking and the drugs and wanting to be thugs. Expound upon that. Like, how is that, how does that peer pressure, how is that piercing even in the young men? Like, what do you see?
You said, how does the peer pressure, would that affect the young men?
The young men, yes, like our brothers and our nieces, our nephews, I'm sorry. And like, we see them, we see them struggling because they're struggling with their identity because of peer pressure, and may not even be submitting to homosexuality per se, but just struggling trying to be this new thug or, no longer want to be known as the church boy.
Right. And I think a lot of it branches from, a lot of the young boys not having their fathers in the home, or even to look at
the connection. We'll wait for her to chime back in with the technical difficulties. But again, our topic tonight is peer pressure, and we want to remind you that you can chime in, you can text in, you can tweet any questions that you may have concerning peer pressure that we may be able to answer. Are you back, Pastor?
I'm back. Sorry.
Hey,
my phone lost
okay.
Signal.
Okay. Amen. Go ahead and finish with your thoughts.
Okay, so what I was saying was, I think it stems from a lot of the young men not having their fathers in the home, number one. And then number also from them looking at the big glamorous thing from the guys that sell drugs. The lifestyle looks so good because it's like they got the money, they got the car, they got the women. And to people or to even the young guys today, it seems like that's the thing to do. That's the thing to do, to carry around your guns or to sell drugs or even to break into people's houses or to steal people's cars. It seems like it's the right thing to do because, like you said, they don't want to be that outcast. And in the society that we live in, it seems like that is the new thing to do, to sell drugs, to be a gangbanger, whatever it may be. But it's not really focusing on the church. It's not really focusing on being holy or to be set apart. And if you are that, then you're looked down upon. But in all honesty, I believe that when you are set apart, you got to be different from people. You can't be like everybody else. And that's the beauty of it all, because God has created us all to be unique. He told us that we are uniquely made, that none of us are the same, but we are all differently made. And I think just that glamorous lifestyle begins to, work against the young men to make them feel like they're macho man or whatever it may be.
So what do you think we can do to change this?
What do I think we can do to change with the peer pressure?
Yes, with the youth, not only the young men.
I think what we have to do is really reach out to the youth. A lot of times, we come off to seem so godly and so holy that the young people don't want to talk to us. The young people don't want to break down and discuss what they're going through with us because they might be judged or they might be criticized. But knowing that we are human too, all of us make mistakes, the young, the old, the mid-age, we all have fallen, we all have made mistakes. And I think that if we go out and allow them to show them the love and to show them, God loved me, I messed up, I fell, I did this, I did that. So even though you're at that place now, God still loves you. So I believe if we just reach out to the young people and allow them to know that they're not alone, because a lot of times they do feel like I'm all by myself in this world. Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. But when we begin to show them the love, we do love you. And we know that you made mistakes, and that's all right, because God has forgiven you, and then we learn how to forgive them also. So just reaching out to them.
Okay.
let me ask you, do you think, Pastor Stephanie, that peer pressure is connected with some sort of spirit? Because when we look at our youth and we go to all these different funerals of these young men, or we find youth who are committing suicide, we find the clinics full of youth with HIV and AIDS, and this spirit is kind of taking over. What do you think about that?
I believe that there is a spirit connected to this. And I believe, just like the Bible tells us, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So even though it may seem to start out as a small thing, the enemy always has a plan, because no matter who we are, if we're listening to this radio station right now, we all have purpose on the inside of us. So the enemy may not know exactly where you're going to go in the future, but he knows that if we have our mindset on serving God and to do what God has called us to do, that we're going somewhere great. And I believe that there is a spirit that is connected with this peer pressure, because it always stems out to so much more than just being peer pressure. It stems out to depression and to low self-esteem and to suicide, things that carry on with you maybe for the rest of your life if you don't learn how to take control of her, you don't allow God to begin to work on that thing. So I most definitely believe that there is a spirit hovering over, you know, the young people with peer pressure.
Amen. Have you, Pastor Stephanie, submitted to...
I would have to say that I have before. Just because I'm a minister doesn't mean that I'm perfect. And I never even portrayed to be perfect, because, like I said, we all fall short of the glory of God. We all make mistakes. And I could truly say that there has been times that I fell underneath a peer pressure. But then it comes back to knowing who you are in God and knowing that, you know, just because I fell under it once, I can ask God for forgiveness and he can fix it all.
That's right. That's it. And so even with that, I think sometimes are you find, like you said, when we accept Christ and we become, we get positions in the body of Christ or in the kingdom of God, sometimes we don't reflect on our past, or we don't share our past, and so they don't really know our story.
Right.
So sometimes a person coming in may think that, oh, they're perfect, but they don't really know our mm-hmm. stories, and I believe that that God is calling us now as youth pastors, as ministers, as lay members, as just the body of Christ, to share our stories. Because if we tell them that you are going to fall short sometimes, but God is able to fix that, and we did mess up and we're not perfect, but God washed away all of our sins, then maybe
exactly.
They'll believe that they have hope in this thing. What do you think?
I believe that's so true. You know, a lot of times to catch people's attention, you got to let them know where you've come from. And even if that's from being as being older, Pastor Keisha, even that was, if it was from anything, from being promiscuous, sleeping around with guys, or if it was from doing drugs or doing alcohol or just going out partying, living that wild, wild lifestyle, I believe that if we begin to let them know that we are not perfect, because I think a lot of times young people, when they think of church people, they think of perfect people doing perfect things, and it's not true. I think that they look at us to look, as that image of God. And I mean, God has made us in his image, but that does not mean that we have all been walking that straight path all the time. So I believe that
if we
be humble enough to break down and not to bash on the head of the young people and let them know, listen, I did get pregnant out of wedlock. I did have sex when I wasn't married. I wasn't a virgin. You know what I mean? When we begin to explain that to them, that they will be able to see, oh, well, I can make mistakes. But at the same time, let them know, even though you have made this mistake, wholeheartedly, when you repent to God, he will forgive you. But now you got to walk upright. You got to turn from what you're doing. You got to stop what you're doing. Stop the weed smoking and whatever, popping the mollies and dancing and clubbing. Stop all that, because now God wants to begin to reveal himself to you even the more.
That's true. And the fact that we got to remind them that hell is real.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that's a lot of things that's missing.
I think a lot of people do think that it's like a fairy tale, especially
right.
because they can't see it and they can't touch it, or they can't get a report back from people that are in hell or that are in heaven. So to them, it's kind of like a make-believe thing. But in all honesty,
right.
hell is real, heaven is real. It's not you just die and you just vanish off. If you don't live the life, or if you don't accept God as your personal savior, and if you don't live the life that God has called you to do, then, you know, you will be damned to hell. But if you have accepted God into your life to say, God, you know, forgive me of my sins, I'm sorry, I want you to come into my life as my savior, the word of God tells us that thou shall be saved. So it is a big difference. And I think that's what it is, that people just look at it as a fairy tale or as a storybook.
Yeah, because I find, you know, just in living life and being out in, you know, in the neighborhoods and in the communities, you're talking to the young people and you'll ask them, you know, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And they say yes, or I know the Lord, you know, but I'm young, or, you know, but you only live once, and I'll get saved, or I'll straighten up as I get older. And
mm-hmm.
the harsh reality is that sometimes they don't even make it to get older. I mean, we are going to funerals. We could go to a funeral every day for somebody that fell under the peer pressure. You know what I'm saying?
That's not even 21.
Right. Hasn't even been out of the state that they live in half the time, except for maybe family vacations, but haven't been to college, hasn't, you know, traveled, done anything.
Right.
So I guess my heart, my concern as dealing with the youth is, you know, you want, or even as a mother, because I have children that's teenagers, and I see them struggle. You know what I mean? They were
mm-hmm.
raised in church, quote unquote, but they still fall under that peer pressure attack. And, you know, it's our desire to see them do better. And so I'm asking you from the heart of a pastor, a youth pastor, like, what is it? You said we need to be more transparent, and we need to show them the love. But what else? I mean, we need to pray, but what else do we need to do to reach them? Like, I'm tired of funerals.
Right. And you know what? I really feel like, like you said, praying, because we know that prayer changes things. And I know that it seems like now, okay, we've been praying, so what action do we take? And it's kind of like when you've done all you can do, and after you stood all you can stand, just stand.
That's right.
And it's really like, once we go out there, the enemy has taken so many young people and so many things from us that it's kind of like now we have to go reclaim the territory.
Yes.
And I think even with doing outreach ministry with the young people in the church, take them out with us to do the outreach ministry, because a lot of people won't listen to you, Pastor Keisha, or to me, because
right.
we may be a little older, but they might listen to somebody that's their same age, because they feel like, well, they're going through the same thing that I'm going through. And I think it's just more so we got to take it by force. We can't be
right.
afraid of what we're going to come up against. And even with the young people, I believe that the generation now is so, they stand so firm on what they believe, that if we can get them to be transferred over into the kingdom of God,
yes.
they will be some of the greatest soldiers in the kingdom of God.
You got that right.
And so I think that's pretty much, we just got to go out there. We got to take it by force. It's so funny because I believe, I've heard it before, that once the enemy sheds blood, that ground is then claimed as his territory. And, I mean, even though from just Wilmington, how many of the young guys and even young women are being killed, and that is the enemy's blood that he's shedding on those grounds. So we have to now go back out and reclaim the grounds for the kingdom of God.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
we
got to
go back
right.
out. We got to take it back by force. We've been nice for too long with the young people, and I think it's pretty much now we got to go back out with authority that God has given us and take it back.
So do you think, I'm kind of hearing you, Pastor Stephens, do you think that the church kind of got either comfortable or even got scared? I mean, because sometimes you'll ask somebody, let's go out and do street ministry, and they're like, oh, it's too late, or, you know. And I know we have to use wisdom. So do you think we got scared, and that's how the devil conquers so much ground?
I think it's both. I think we have become lazy, and I also think that a lot of Christians have become afraid. And I mean, because with the Christian life, it can't just be lip service. You actually have to live this thing out 24/7. It's not just something you pick up on Sunday or Friday service and then put back on the shelf. This is what you have to live 24/7. It hurts. It don't feel good. People talk about you. You lose friends. But this is what we have to do. And I really believe that the body of Christ has become afraid of what, I don't know, because we know that we serve the all-powerful God. But I think from just what the news, what we hear on the news or what we hear on the radio about the killings and the rapings or whatever, I think that we have now been placed in the place of fear. But, I mean, I declare that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So even when we do get in that place of fear, if we just press on, because it's kind of like when we get afraid, the enemy start laughing at us because he's like, oh, I got over on them. But no, we got to go back out with the authority that God has given us, young and old.
Yes, that's it.
What peer pressure do you see on Facebook or any type of social network?
I think really a lot of it would be mainly things I see are like parties and clubs. Getting people strung out into that, to the club scene, because with the club scene comes so much more. It comes with alcohol, it comes with sex, it comes with drinking. It's not just at the place of you dancing in a club. And I think that with, even how past Halloween and knowing that as Christians we don't celebrate Halloween, but it was a lot of people that dressed up and that went on the loop. Because that was the thing to do. That was what everybody else was doing. Everybody was getting dressed. Everybody was going out getting on the loop. So that was the thing that everybody wanted to be a fad of.
So we can, okay, let's say I see a ad on Facebook and it's telling me, oh, go to this party. But I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't have sex. I'm just at the party, and I would like to have fun. Is that still bad, or is it okay?
I feel like, why would you want to surround yourself? Why would you want to surround yourself with that unpositive energy? Let's call it that. Why would you want to surround yourself with that if that's not what you do? It says, it's an old saying that birds of a feather flock together. So even though you may not be doing anything, you may not be smoking, you may not be drinking, you may not be partying, but because you call yourself a child of God, then you have a standard to uphold. And when you start going to parties, people are not going to say, oh, well, such and such was at the party, but I know she wasn't drinking. I know she wasn't smoking because she don't do none of that. She just danced. No. They don't look at it like that. Don't allow your goods to be evil spoken of. And what that just saying is, if that's not what you do, stay away from it. If you don't drink, if you don't smoke, if you don't have sex, if you don't whatever, stay away from even the crowd that's attached to those things. Because then the name will begin to fall on you all because you surrounded yourself with those kind of people.
That's right. That's it.
Pastor Stephanie, what would you say to a young person or even a young adult who is following the crowd because they want to be accepted by the wrong crowd?
What I would have to say is be who you want to be. find out who you are. And like I said, that was a big part with me. Even though I was a PK kid preaching since I was seven, that didn't mean anything because I felt like I didn't know who I was. I felt like I wasn't loved. I felt like nobody cared about me. I felt like whatever I did didn't matter. So I did what I felt like everybody else was doing. If everybody else was cussing, I was cussing. If everybody else was going out, I was going out. And I began to go with the crowd, and I think that if I were to find a young person now, I would just tell them, love yourself. Because when you first love yourself, knowing that God loves you, and if you begin to love yourself, everything will begin to go the way it's supposed to be. It's going to be hard. It's going to be uncomfortable. But accept the fact that you have to be distanced and divided and different and set apart from everybody else to actually get to the future that God has seen you be. So I would just tell them, love yourself, love who you are, no matter if you're tall, short, fat, skinny, bald head, long hair, whatever it may be, begin to love yourself, because once you begin to love yourself, you don't get so easily pulled by peer pressure because you know who you are and you love who you are.
Pray for the youth in our city.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you now saying thank you, God. God, we thank you for all that you've done, and we ask that you begin to touch every listener that's on the radio station right now. God, every young person that is even sitting in, God, contemplating what they should do, where they should go, if they should take their life. We put an assignment out, God, and put a stamp of denial on the enemy, knowing that he's trying to come to bring, God, that suicidal thought on your young people, that homosexuality spirit, that low self-esteem, that depression, God, and we begin to take it away in the name of Jesus, asking you to do whatever you have to do, God. Send your angels out to cover over your young people right now, God, young, middle age, old, God, whatever you need to do, we ask you to do it. God, allow them to know that they were set apart for a reason, God, not to be ashamed, because you said that if we are ashamed of you here on earth, that you will be ashamed of us here on in heaven, God. God, so we ask that you begin to do it. Break every sign of low self-esteem right now, God. Let them know that they are beautiful and they are wonderfully made, God, in your image. We say we thank you, we magnify you, we pull down every stronghold right now, God. In your blessed and holy name, we say amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
I want to seize this moment right now after that awesome prayer and our awesome topic discussion, peer pressure. If there is a young person that is listening tonight that may be, like Pastor Stephanie said, struggling with their identity, struggling with depression, not really loving herself because they don't know who they are, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Jesus died, laid down his life and died for you because he wants you to come to him, and he wants to give you peace. He wants to give you rest. He wants to restore your brokenness. I can attest to what Pastor Stephanie said. I grew up in a broken home, and I didn't have my father present in my life, and so I struggled with wanting to be loved by other people, so I latched on to different men to try to find, to fill that void, and I never got that void filled. And so I met Jesus, and he filled that void completely. So tonight I just want to offer salvation. Romans 10 and 9 is basic. It says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. So if you're listening tonight, I just ask that you repeat after me wholeheartedly and just let the Lord do what he do. Amen. When we come, like she said, when we get to our point where we're broken and we done all we could do, we just stand and let God do the rest. So say this prayer with me. Lord, I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And I repent now for all of my sins and all of my wrongdoing. And I believe you right now for my new start, my new beginning. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. And thank you, God, for your plan of redemption for my life. And that's it. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer tonight with me, you are saved. It's just that simple. You don't have to roll around in the middle of the floor. You don't have to do backward flips. You just tell God, you know, I believe you and I receive you, and you're saved. And so with Pastor Stephanie on the line still, I know if any of our listeners have said this or said yes, you know, we would love to have you. We're both on Facebook. You can text us or Facebook us or Twitter. Pastor Stephanie, you on Instagram?
Yes.
You can Instagram her. I haven't caught up to that vernacular yet, but you can Instagram her and just let us know if that was you so that we can keep you in prayer and keep you covered and help you find a church home. It's not about being a part of Mount Zion, or it's not even about a part of being about House of Prayer, but it's about being a part of the kingdom of God. So please let us know if that was you tonight, that we would be able to pray for you and help you and encourage you in this walk. Amen. Pastor Stephanie, is there anything coming up at your church? Anything you want to announce? Anything you're doing?
No, nothing right now. Nothing I can think
of. Amen. You guys getting ready for your watch night for New Year's?
Right. And we'll be having watch night at our church, 62 East Main Street, Pensgrove, New Jersey, House of Prayer Fellowship Church, under the leadership of Bishop Stephanie Lally and Pastor Margaret D. Lally.
Amen. Amen. Okay. So, again, that is the location. She's in Jersey. We're in Wilmington, and we're able to just connect. This is my sister in Christ. I love her a bunch. Amen. She's an awesome, dynamic woman of God. And I'm just grateful that you took the time out to share your heart tonight with our young people who are listening. Is there anything else that God's laid on your heart that you want to express?
No, and I think I would just want to just keep telling the young people, stay focused. It's so easy to get off track. It's so easy to lean to the side. Just stay focused. And I've come to learn that there is a reward in the end, you know, with not having sex. And is it hard? Yes, it is hard. But is it worth it? Yes, it is. It's worth every time, you know, that you even, the thought even crossed your mind. It's worth to stay holy and to stay set apart because God honors that. And once you are honored by God, and he said, if you walk upright before me, there is no good thing that I will withhold from you. So just stay focused, young people, and continue to do what God has called you to do. That small, still voice that you hear at night when you are by yourself, that's God talking to you, trying to tell you, get up, talk to me. And praying is not big words. Just talk to God the same way you talk to your friends, the same way you talk to your mother. That's the same way you talk to God. Man, that's it.
Amen. Well, we thank you, woman of God, for sharing tonight. We love you over here. You know you are part of our family. And we will be getting you, we'll be getting you back on air with us soon. Our host here, Bree, she's into fashion, and I know you're into fashion. Fashion is your passion.
Oh, yes.
But we'll have you guys get back on that topic and chime in and teach us older saints and us newer saints, you know, how to stay sharp and fly. Some of us are walking around skirt sweeping the floor, and then some of us, we need some limp to our skirts, but we'll let y'all chop it up on that. So we'll be calling you back to connect with you on our fashion segment.
Okay.
Is that cool?
That's good with me.
And bring your little diva. Have your little diva. Have your little twin listen and call in and chime in, because she reminds me so much of you. She reminds me so much of you. I know fashion is her passion too.
It has to be if she's going to be with me.
Oh, Lord. Brie, what you say about that?
That would be great.
All right, well, we thank you, women of God, for your time. We love you.
I love you too.
And we'll talk to you soon.
No problem. All right.
God bless you. Huh?
All right.
Amen. So as you heard, we were talking with Youth Pastor Stephanie Lally, and our subject tonight was peer pressure. I didn't see any questions come in from our young people, but I think that we had a great dialogue tonight. What you think, Brie?
I thought it was wonderful.
Amen. I know you see a lot of your friends struggling with peer pressure.
Yes. A lot of. I even struggle with peer pressure, but you have to have faith. And everything will work out in the end, because God at the end.
God is there. Amen. Let me ask you, you just recently moved up here from Georgia. So the youth up here is no different than the youth in Georgia? Peer pressure is everywhere?
Yes, peer pressure is everywhere. And it is much faster up north than it is down south. Like, everything is spread out down south. So the kids, they just try to find little things that they can do, and it's not a lot of, like, youth ministry going on in churches, and they're not really out in the community. So they just try to go out and, oh, I'll just go smoke a little bit of this, and I'll go have sex with this girl, and I'll do this, that, and the third. And they just can't, it's not, the ministry is not there for them. And I really feel sorry for them, because I want them to get it, and I want everybody to have faith in God and to see God and seek God. But up here, it's not really different. No, it's not really different. It's the same, because everybody wants to fit in.
Amen.
Yeah, so.
Then this young lady is 16, and she is on fire. I'm excited for what God is going to do in her life. Amen. She is really sold out, so I'm excited that she agreed to be our co-host tonight.
Yes.
Amen. She has so many gifts. Before we close out, we did want to go and give some announcements. We just ended our 70-day Harvest Crusade, and oh my gosh, yes, it was excellent. Close out. God moved like never before in this place. I am encouraged, and I know God has greater for us.
Yes, everyone.
Everyone, amen. On November the 20th at 7 p.m., Bishop Eric Reynolds from House of Prayer Church of Deliverance will be preaching here at Mount Zion Greater Harvest. We invite all of you to come out, all of our listeners who may be interested in coming out and fellowshipping with us, Bishop Eric Reynolds. They call him the Apostle of Prayer. He is a prayer warrior. Amen. Him and all his good people will be here, and he is an awesome servant of God. He prays, and he's in tune with God, and so come out and see what God is saying to the church, the body of Christ. On November the 22nd, it is the second pastoral anniversary of Bishop Matthew and Dr. Celeste Washington, and our apostle, Dr. Robert Revell Sr., will be preaching there at the Everlasting Life International Ministries, Inc., located at 720 North Locust Street between East 7th and 8th Street in Wilmington, Delaware. So if you're not doing anything on the 22nd, please come out and support Bishop Matthews and Dr. Celeste Washington. Those are two fireballs in the gospel. And come out and be a blessing to them and encourage them on their second pastoral anniversary celebration. I think that's it for our announcements. We're preparing for Thanksgiving. I'm excited. Are you excited about turkey time?
Very, very. Hopefully we get something new this year.
Like what?
I don't know. Like something different. I don't know, teriyaki turkey.
Teriyaki turkey.
Wait a minute,
you tied it to traditional turkey?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
16 years of the same turkey. I don't want that.
But you don't get turkey every day, it's once a year.
Yeah, but it's the same.
Did you see that commercial with the pilgrim talking about Thanksgiving, and he said he waited 365 or 64 days for Thanksgiving, and they stuffed the bird but they didn't put any stovetop stuffing in it.
No, I didn't see that.
He said, you know, it's going to be a disgraceful dinner, but we're all great. You know, we're all blessed or whatever. But he was upset because they didn't put stuffing, this particular stuffing in the bird. Mm. I'm excited. You know what I want?
I want to eat. I can eat my family. I would like my dad together. Yeah.
All around the table?
Yes.
A big time with family. That should be fun. I love family fellowship. It's nothing
so
like family getting together. So what's going on? What's the latest going on? Anything new?
Anything new. Oh.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So I am in the youth ministry at Mount Zion now.
Yay!
And I'm going to start the Bible Bowl. It's going to be an annual thing. So
amen.
I'm going to get the Bible Bowl set up. Bible Bowl, sorry. And maybe even a dance ministry, the youth dance ministry. And, yeah. Grades
amen.
Are good. So pretty good. Yes.
Yeah. She's excited. Yo, that makes me excited when we have a young person that is excited for the Lord. That's what we need to get back to. I mean, we need to stay excited for the Lord. Before we leave, before we log off here, if you are in need of prayer, we have a prayer line. Please call 302-754-1754. Again, that number is 302-754-1754. And a prayer partner is standing by to pray with you right now. So if you have any prayer requests, you just want somebody to touch and agree, you want somebody to keep you lifted in prayer, please call. We would love to talk to you. We would love to share the word with you. We would love to pray for you. Amen. And we would even love to have the entire body of Christ of the church here at Mount Zion to pray for you. So if you call and you want to be added to the church's prayer, list of prayer people that we're praying for on a regular basis, please let the prayer partner know that, and we'll add you to our prayer list of the entire church. It's praying with you until you receive whatever it is that you need from God. Any final thoughts, Miss Bree?
Stay positive, focused, and always have faith.
Amen. I would like to remind everyone that every Wednesday at 7 p.m., we have our Bible study here at Mount Zion Greater Harvest, which is located 3607 Governor Prince Boulevard. And our Sunday morning services, our worship service, start at 10 a.m. Come out and be blessed. If you don't have a church home of your own, or you're just looking for a good place to fellowship, come out and be blessed. We are sitting under some good word. God is using our apostle to break the bread of life on a regular basis. So come out and receive your blessing. Amen. We pray that you have been encouraged tonight. Until next time, remember the Great Commission, and go ye therefore and make disciples. Be encouraged, stay positive, stay blessed. We love you, and have a wonderful night.
Good night, you guys.
Good night.